Deuteronomy 7, begin in verse number 7. The Bible says, "The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people. For you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them." And let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Father, thank you for the fact that we know that you are faithful, Lord. We are not, Lord. We by nature are despicable, Lord. But you are faithful. And Father, we are so thankful that our salvation doesn't depend on how faithful we are, but on how faithful you are, Lord. And Father, we just thank you so much for your goodness to us, Lord. And Father, I pray now that you would speak to our hearts as we study your word. And we do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we live in a very unstable world. I don't know if you've noticed that. It seems as though the only thing that is constant today is the fact that everything is changing. Everything is changing. Sometimes change brings growth and improvement. You know, change is not always a bad word. Change can be positive, change can be negative. The word change has no moral value to it at all. It can be good, it can be bad. When you are lost and you are in your sinful condition, one day Christ saved you and you began to change. That wasn't bad, was it? Sometimes, we'll make decisions in our life that are positive, and that would be a positive change. You know, sometimes people act as if the word change is always bad. It's always negative. It's always something to be afraid of. I mean, you mentioned change, and people are, "Oh, no, we're not going to change." Well, there's probably some things you need to change. But I will say that change can be scary. And sometimes it brings growth and improvement, which is great. Other times, it brings fear and instability. Other times, change can be very bad. Just a few examples here. One is technology. Technology, I mean, in my lifetime, we've gone from, and I never had one of these, but I was alive at a time in which they were popular, and that was the 8-track. Then we went to cassettes, then CDs, then iTunes and MP3s and so on, right? We've gone from a few thousand on the internet to millions, and they say that internet traffic is doubling every 100 days. That's insane. Socially, you know, man's word rarely is his bond anymore. A man's word is rarely his bond anymore. There's marital problems. Divorce and unwed couples living together are the norm in this day and age. Video games and rock music have evolved. If you want to know how to steal a car, if you want to know how to shoot a police officer, if you want to know how to rob a bank or murder innocent people, there's a video game for that. That's a sad society we live in. Politically, nationalism is declining. Globalism is on the rise. It's getting harder to find people today who still love the red, white, and blue and are still thankful for America, who believe that we should endeavor to be the very best we can be for our God and our country. No, we have spoiled, rotten football players now who kneel down when they should be standing. That's the day and age we live in. Religiously, many churches, in an attempt to appeal to their culture, are teaching less doctrine, or they're changing or eliminating the altar call. They're replacing much of the preaching with various forms of entertainment. Yet in this hour of human history, with more change in 1 year than took place over hundreds of years in the past, I'm more thankful than ever that we have a God that does not change. He is faithful. He is true. Malachi 3:6, the Bible says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." He said, if it wasn't for the fact that I don't change, I'd have destroyed you already. How many here today would say, that sounds like what God should have done to me. I'm glad he doesn't change, amen. I'm glad his mercy is still there. I'm glad his long-suffering is still there. I'm glad his forgiveness is still there. I'm glad he hasn't changed in those areas. You know, God does not change. Here in verse number 9 of our text, Moses reminds us with these words. He says, "The Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God." The faithful God. Human nature cannot be relied on. But we can trust in a God whose faithfulness upholds the world at this very moment. I want to notice, first off, he is faithful in his personality. Faithfulness is just who he is. It's just who he is. The Bible says in verse 9, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God." That's an adjective to describe his personality. He is by nature faithful. That's an attribute of God. His very personality is reliable. Isaiah 46:9, the Bible says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me." He's reliable. I want to notice that his personality is truthful. He keeps his word. He's truthful. You know, society is always changing their so-called truth. I mean, why does science seem to keep coming up with new evidence? You know, evidence that was never there before. Not too long ago, they came up with new evidence that the planet Pluto is not a planet. I wish they'd make up their mind on that. It really doesn't affect my day at all, but I wish they'd just make up their mind on that. Pluto was a planet. Now it's not a planet. They're talking about maybe making it a planet again. We don't know. We went a few years back to a dinosaur museum. Boy, this is probably about 7 or 8 years back. But we went to a dinosaur museum, and we saw a display of a dinosaur called the Apatosaurus. Apatosaurus. Anybody ever hear of those? Okay. I'd never heard of it either. Until one of the employees told us that it is a name we're supposed to call the Brontosaurus. How many have heard of the Brontosaurus? Okay, the name's changed. It's no longer in effect anymore. You say, why is that? Well, from my understanding, the Apatosaurus and the Brontosaurus were two dinosaurs that were discovered around the same time. They were almost identical, but the Brontosaurus was much bigger and the Apatosaurus was much smaller. And they looked around and they began finding a lot more brontosauruses and a lot less apatosauruses. And then somebody came up with new evidence that the apatosaurus that they found was actually just a baby brontosaurus. And that was their new evidence. What a genius! I wonder how they came across this new evidence. Apparently, the evidence of simple observation has never existed before. It's brand new now. It's new evidence that we have. I mean, science is always changing their mind about things. Health, medical field. Man, what we were told was terrible. How many remember that there's nothing worse you could put in your body than coffee? Now they're telling you there's nothing better you can put in your body than coffee. They can't make up their mind what's healthy or not. They came up with Equal and all these other sugar supplements because sugar was bad for you. Now they're showing that Equal and all those things are really what's bad for you and sugar's what's good for you. Make up your mind. Many in our society today they may castigate the word of God. But the Bible says, thy word is true from beginning. Every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Some here today may be questioning God's word. Let me illustrate this. If you're driving and you see a sign, and that sign on the road says, warning, dangerous curves ahead. There's three things you can do, three choices you have at that point. Number one, you can slow down. You can take the caution. You can believe that there are dangerous curves up ahead, and I probably should slow down a little bit. Number two, you can ignore it. That is simply maintaining the same speed you're at. Number three, you can defy it. Dangerous curve, I'm going to go faster and accelerate. Now, let me say, those are three choices. You can obey it, you can ignore it, or you can defy it. But let me tell you, no matter what your response to the sign is, it's not going to change what the sign says, and it's not going to change the fact that there are curves ahead. Your attitude towards the sign doesn't change the truth. Your attitude doesn't change what is true. Those here today may have various attitudes towards God and towards the Bible, but how many know today that your attitude will not in any way change the fact that God is true and His Word stands true? It's true. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Romans 3:4, the Bible says, God forbid, yea, let God be true, and every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Let God be true, and every man a liar. When we go against the truth of God, we're the liars, He's true. It doesn't matter if you obey, if you ignore, or if you defy, He is true. Deuteronomy 32:4, He is a rock, His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment, a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is He. He's a true God. So His personality is truth. It's truthful. And then His personality is immutable. What does the word immutable mean? It means He does not change. Somebody came up with a great doctrinal word that most people don't understand. And so let me clarify. He doesn't change. He stays the same. That's His personality. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You know, the word variableness is from the Greek word paralege. I probably butchered that. What that word means is important. It means transmutation, fickleness, or changing. No, he's saying there is no fickleness in God. God is not fickle. I'm glad today that we don't have a fickle God. God is not like a yo-yo. Up one time, down one time, up one time, down another time. No, He doesn't change. He's not fickle. I can understand, by the way, why some people believe God's fickle when they watch His followers. Because many of His followers are not displaying that characteristic of God. They don't show that they believe it. And so some people look at God's people, God's followers, and say, you must have a fickle God, but He's not fickle. We are. I heard somebody recently who made this statement, and I understand their heart. I don't think it's the best statement, and maybe you've heard the statement, that we need to make God look good. I don't know if I like that statement. God doesn't need us to make Him look good, as if God's not good and somebody has to shine Him up so He looks good. We just need to represent Him well. God is good. We don't have to make Him look good. We just need to represent Him well. Amen? And that way people will see God as good. You see, some people look at us and they say, you must have a fickle God. But let me say, there is no variableness in God. There's no shadow of turning. He's not a fickle God. God doesn't love us one day and hate us the next. By the way, He doesn't change back and forth from holy to loving. From merciful to righteous. You know, God's loving at one moment and then He's holy at another moment. No, that's not how it is. as if God can't be both. God's merciful at one moment, but then he's righteous at another moment. No, he's all of those things at once, all the time. He doesn't have to be one or the other. He doesn't have to be a holy God or a loving God. He's both. He's holy and loving. They go together. They don't go against each other. And so, he doesn't change. His personality is faithfulness. He's truthful. He's immutable. He does not change. Then I want to know, secondly, his faithfulness in his provision. We saw his faithfulness in his personality. Now let's look at his faithfulness in his provision. Look at verse number 8, if you will. The Bible says, "But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." God was good to them, is what he's saying. You know, when you look at Israel, you see that it has always been God's desire to meet the needs of his people. Always. Now, because of times of disobedience, their needs weren't always met, but it wasn't God's fault, it was theirs. It was their choice. You know, God's heart for them has always been to supply their needs. And that's, by the way, that's his heart for you and I today. That's his heart for his church today. It's to meet our needs. I want to notice that God provides physical needs. I want you to see his provision of physical needs. We live in a tragic day when we see so many men abandoning their own families. I never heard of it so much when I was younger. And I hope I'm not old yet. But it astonishes me within the last decade how many more times I'm hearing of mothers abandoning their children. It used to always just be the father you'd hear about. You know, it's so unnatural for a mother to abandon her children. And I'm hearing more and more about moms abandoning their children. Just no natural affection. And yet we see in God's word that God will always meet those needs. Genesis 8:22, the Bible says, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease." You know, this planet annually produces enough food for all our physical needs. It's amazing how God set it up that way. God has provided for every generation. Psalm 37:25, the Bible says, this is David saying, "I have been young and now I'm old, and yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." I'll be honest with you, I get calls several times a week from people saying, can you buy our groceries for us? Can you pay our rent for us? Can you do this or that? Not one time have I gotten a call like that from somebody who is living their life for the Lord. I've never gotten a call from somebody who's living their life for the Lord. You call me up and say, "Pastor, I don't know why, but God's just not providing my need." I've never come across that. I can say the same as David did, that I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. I've gotten calls from people who have not been faithful to the Lord begging. You know, you go out on the street and you see those people with those signs. I guarantee you, you're not going to find a true disciple of Jesus Christ on the street begging for bread. You're not going to find it. You know, there's been several times when it seemed like our needs would not be met. You know, and sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I don't like the portion of the Lord's Prayer that says, "Give us this day our daily bread." I would rather God give me a month in advance bread, wouldn't you? He doesn't work that way. He gives us what we need that day. Then he gives us what he needs the next day. Kind of like the manna in the wilderness. You're only going to get what you need for that day. So don't store up anymore. I mean, God gives us day by day. And we've run across that where it seems like we were just overcome with bills and overcome. And there's just no way we could pay and keep up. We've had those times. But every single time, it seems that God would put it on the heart of maybe one of his choice servants that he laid a burden on to send money our way. By the way, that's a humbling experience. And I'm sure they had no idea why they were doing it. But it always seemed to arrive right when we need it. God works that way. God works that way. I can honestly say there's been many times in our lives we simply lived on the grace of God. And God never, ever let us down. So he provides our physical needs. You know, he provides our emotional needs. Look at verse number 8, the beginning of it. The Bible says, because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers. You know, he promises the Lord loves them. And he loves us. And there have been some here today, perhaps, that would say that they never knew what it was like to be raised by a loving father. There may be some who would say, I've never heard my dad say the words, I love you. I want to tell you today that if you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you now have a father that tells you every single day he loves you. Every single day. And he doesn't just say it, but he also proves it in his actions. Now, love is more than an emotion. Love is an action of my will under the direction of the Lord. It's an action of my will under the direction of the Lord. Jeremiah 31:3, the Bible says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn thee. Lamentations 3:22, it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. How many would amen that? Because his compassions fail not. You know, if we look to men to encourage us, we're going to be discouraged. But if you look to the cross, you're going to see that his compassion fails not. His love endures. His spirit comforts. You may be here today and you're going through a time of difficulty, a time of heartache. Let me say to you that if you want to find the emotional need met within your heart and within your soul, take one look at the cross and remember that God, in his faithfulness, sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who on the cross of Calvary shed his blood and suffered the ridicule of the Roman soldiers, took a spear through his side, and on the cross bore all our sin in order that we might be saved. And God did that to say, I love you. And I want you to be saved. As we heard in song today, there is a river. There is a river for every one of us. And it's a river of the blood of Jesus Christ. I heard of a little girl whose mom had died of cancer. They had the funeral, and the very next night after the funeral, she was scared, and she crawled into bed with her dad. And in the darkness of night, she grabbed her dad's face and pulled it close to her. She couldn't see him, but she grabbed his face, pulled him close to her, and she said, Daddy, is your face toward me? And the dad looked at his daughter and said, yes, it is, honey. Yes, it is, dear. And the little girl said, okay, then I can sleep. A few hours later, Dad woke up to the little girl grabbing his face again. And she was scared, and it was dark, and she couldn't see. And she said, Daddy, is your face toward me? And the dad said to his daughter, yes, it is. And she said, okay, I can sleep now. A couple hours later, the dad woke up. The daughter was sound asleep. His heart was troubled. He is grieving inside. He had just lost his wife. He didn't know what the future held, and he was full of heartbreak and pain. And he got on his knees, and he looked up to heaven, and he said, Father, Father, is your face toward me? And he got a calm peace in his heart that seemed to say, yes, it is. And he said, oh, Father, then I can sleep now. I can sleep now. Let me remind you today that God's face is always toward you. You may be going through sickness. You may be going through heartache. You may even be going through death in your life. But his face is toward you. His peace is offered to you. He has provision for your emotional needs. And then I want you to notice that he has provision of spiritual needs. Our spiritual sustenance comes from the Word of God. It comes from the Word of God. God's Word will lift you up. It will fill you up. Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Psalm 119:138, thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. You know, when I open the Word of God with the right heart, and I am seeking His leadership every time He feeds me, thank God He will faithfully provide our needs, whether they are physical, whether they are emotional, whether they are spiritual. You know, if you ever desire to take your pastor out to eat sometime, let me give you advice. I love this. You say, Pastor, I'd like to take you and your family out to a nice restaurant. Yeah, that'd be great. But let me give you some advice. I'm not eating anywhere where the main entree consists of carrots, celery, lettuce, sunflower seeds, raisins, broccoli, or beets. Not doing it. Save your money. There is one prevailing question that has been asked throughout the generations in such a situation, and that question is this: where's the beef? Where's the beef? Let me say, I'd rather skip over the rabbit food. Man was created to be a carnivore, amen? My friend, if you want to spiritually feed off carrots and off lettuce and delve, you just go ahead and delve into New Age doctrine. You just go ahead and delve into New Age doctrine, delve into the seeker-friendly church philosophy. But my friend, if you want the steak and potatoes of godliness, open up the Word of God tomorrow morning and let God fill you up and give you the strength and the nourishment you need to face whatever comes your way, knowing that you're standing on the solid rock of God's Word. He'll give you the protein, amen? I want to notice that He is faithful in His personality. He is faithful in His provision. And He is faithful in His promises. Look at verse number 9, if you will. The Bible says, know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations, and repay them that hate Him to their face. By the way, if you hate God, that's not good news. To destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. Now, there are thousands of promises that you can find in God's Word. There are hundreds of prophecies given in the Word of God, most of which have already been fulfilled. God prophesied the death, burial, and resurrection of His Son. He prophesied even the way in which He would die in very detailed manner. He prophesied the very place of His birth. But let me share you three promises He's given to man today. Three promises that are as sure as those prophecies came true. Number one, His promise to save. His promise to save. You know, God has promised that anyone who comes to the realization that he is a sinner, who has no hope apart from Jesus Christ, that person can come to Christ believing that he is God, that he has paid for all our sin on the cross of Calvary, and he has risen from the dead to bring us victory over sin, over death, and over hell. And the Bible promises that that person will be saved. That person will be saved. Hebrews 7:24 through 25. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Talking about Christ. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. God promises that. That comes from a God who cannot lie. You can come to God only through Jesus Christ. He has promised that he will give you salvation if you come to him. His promise to save. Secondly, His promise to forgive. I love 1 John 1:9, where the Bible says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful. We've sinned, He's faithful. That means we are not faithful, He is. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Aren't you glad that God's forgiveness is not based on our faithfulness? Can I give you a clue on this? If you need forgiveness, that means you weren't faithful. I'm glad our forgiveness is not based on our faithfulness. It's based on His faithfulness. It's based on His faithfulness. He promises to forgive. And then He promises to keep. To keep. I like this. 2 Timothy 1:12. The Bible says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. God's able to keep us. He's able to guard us. He's able to keep the salvation that He began in us and the work of transformation that He began in our lives. He's able to keep that. You know, there was a preacher, in closing, who came to a barber. And that barber was an atheist. And the barber said unto him, he said, if God is such a loving God, how can He allow famine and war and cruelty and destruction to take place in the world? Just then the preacher noticed a man walking outside. And the man had long hair and he had a scruffy beard. And the preacher said to the barber, he said, if you're such a good barber, how come you allow that man to walk unshaven and his hair uncut? The barber said, well, he's never given me a chance to fix it. To which the preacher responded, so it is with men and women everywhere who go through the problems you have mentioned and never come to God allowing Him to fix them. Today, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, won't you please come to Him and allow Him to fix your sin problem? I tell you this, you have a sin problem. I have a sin problem. We all have a sin problem. And there's two ways it can be dealt with. You say, Pastor, can I just take care of it myself? Yeah, you can. The way you can take care of it yourself is to spend eternity in hell forever. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But if you allow Him to fix it, He took care of it 2,000 years ago at Calvary. It's done. It is finished. If you bring your sin to Him, He's already fixed it. You just have to bring it to Him. He'll take care of it. He'll fix it. You know, it's not that He doesn't want to. It's because you haven't let Him. It's not because He doesn't want to. It's because you haven't let Him. Our God is faithful to forgive. He is faithful in His personality. He is faithful in His provision. He is faithful in His promise. And He invites us to abide with Him. Father, we thank You so much for Your faithfulness. What an amazing attribute that is. I can't even ponder it, Lord, because I know in my heart when I look at my past and survey it, that faithfulness is not a quality that sticks out in my life. Nor is it in any of our lives. So it amazes me that You are 100% faithful, Lord. Thank You for Your faithfulness, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name.